for splashdown?
Gulf of Mexico. As close to port of New Orleans as possible without being detected.
Processing. Malfunctioning.
Close off the reactor. Switch to turbine power.
Processing. Warning. Radiation overload in valve sector. Warning.
Control.
Major portion of ship intact. Fusion reactor down. Onboard guidance system inoperative. Cybernetic interface is short-circuiting. Fuel level dropping rapidly.
Switch to manual override. Use alternate interface port. Estimate impact coordinates.
Guidance system down. Best estimate is somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico.
I must survive. I have to find my creators.
A spacefaring robot has returned to Earth. Created with artificial intelligence to explore new worlds, it has abandoned that mission and now moves with a different and perhaps sinister purpose. Sci-Fi Radio presents the first of a two-part adaptation of Roger Zelazny's novella, Home is the Hangman.
I had half hoped this would be one of those occasions when Don failed to show up. I had sufficient funds to hold me through the spring, and I didn't really feel like working. I was anxious to continue sailing toward the Caribbean before the winter storm season. But you don't always get what you hope for.
Come on down. Jesus, it's cold out there. Whatever possessed you to winter here on the Chesapeake?
I wouldn't be if you hadn't called. Take your coat off. I'll fix you a scotch.
Well, you don't forget or miss much, do you?
You wouldn't be here if I did. Don operates the second largest detective agency in the world, and he sometimes finds me useful, because I do not exist. I had a significant part in developing the World Data Bank project, and saw to it that I didn't receive citizenship in that second world of Big Brother. So I go where I like and where I must to make my living. That's where Don comes in. The people I become are often very useful when he has peculiar problems.
Good scotch. You've been living well.
Thanks. How's business these days?
Complicated. Very complicated. Which is why I'm here. I need to hire a consultant.
What have you got?
A case that requires the services of a very special specialist.
I'm not a specialist in anything.
Well, I always assumed you knew an awful lot about computers, like the World Data Bank Project.
Touche. Okay, so I know more about them than school kids do. What do you need?
First, I need a background review on how the early space exploration robots worked, like, say, the ones on Venus.
They weren't really robots. They were telefactoring devices.
What's the difference?
A robot is a machine that performs in accord with its program. A telefactor is a slave machine operated by remote control.
Wasn't there one project that attempted to send a computer with its telefactor instead of a human? Only the computer wasn't a computer and the telefactor wasn't a telefactor.
I think you're you're talking about the hangman.
Yes. How did it work?
Ultimately, it didn't.
Oh, but it worked at first.
Only on the easy stuff. It was written off as a failure in artificial intelligence.
Artificial intelligence?
Yes, if I remember correctly, three engineers from the University of Wisconsin developed a device known as a superconductive tunnel junction neuristor. They packed over 10 billion of these neuristor cells into its brain. The thing then created its own schematics of least resistance and began functioning like it had something close to a human brain.
At that point, would it be considered a robot?
Not exactly. The hangman made its own decisions, but it was too complex. That was probably what broke it down.
Inevitable free will?
No, its basic design was flawed. Its brain pattern was too random to handle all the gimmicks they attached to it. When its tasks became complicated, the hangman overloaded from its initial programming.
Is there anything else you remember about it?
It's been almost 20 years since I read anything about it, but another thing that sticks in my mind was the way they communicated with it.
How was that?
It had a special cybernetic interface that allowed it to link up with whoever had on the communicator helmet. Sort of a mind-reading gadget.
Oh!
Yeah, one other thing. It was powerful. Maybe a dozen times as strong as a man. But why so much interest in a defunct piece of equipment?
Your information is incorrect. The hangman worked well enough to be launched on an exploration mission. It's been gone for years. Presumed lost. But its ship crashed or landed in the Gulf of Mexico 2 days ago.
I knew I was in trouble right then. This was heading in an all too familiar direction, but my curiosity was piqued. Go on.
It was empty when they finally got down to it.
Maybe a retrieval program initiated its return without the hangman.
Maybe. Yesterday morning, Manny Burns was found beaten to death in New Orleans.
Well, I fail to see the connection.
Manny Burns was one of the four original operators who programmed... taught the hangman.
Coincidence?
My client doesn't think so.
Who's your client?
One of the three remaining members of the training group. He's convinced that the hangman has returned to Earth to kill its creators.
Well, has he notified the authorities?
No. That would require telling them the reason for his fears.
That being?
Well, he wouldn't tell me either.
Well, how does he expect you to do a proper job?
He wants two things. Good bodyguards and the hangman found and disposed of. Neither requires a full case study. I've already taken care of the first part.
And you want me to do the second?
That's right. In my opinion, you're the man for the job.
Should I thank you?
You'll take the case?
Not so fast. I need more facts. Who's your client? Who are the other creators?
Our client is the Honorable Jesse Brockton, senior senator from Wisconsin, board member of the World Data Bank. The rest is in the dossier.
There it was again, the World Data Bank. And Jesse Brockton, no less. I recall he was on the committee which was supposed to be working on a series of reform recommendations that could tie the hands of Big Brother.
The senator is dying of bone cancer, and he's paranoid he won't finish his work before the disease kills him. And now he's got the hangman to contend with.
Although I couldn't actually care less about the hangman, I did have a vested interest in the World Data Bank, a monster I helped create. There was no backing out, no. Did the others feel the same way?
No. They seem to believe the same as you, that the hangman's ship returned empty-handed and the Burns murder was just a coincidence.
It does seem peculiar that Brockton is the only one afraid of the device.
Yes, it does.
And that he gives no reasons.
True.
Plus, from this report, it seems that the doctors believe his condition is affecting his mind.
Well, I have no doubt he's neurotic, but he's by no means insane.
Have you got the specs of the hangman and the police report on the Burns killing?
It's all in the dossier.
I'll need to be able to reach you 24 hours a day.
No problem. Glad to have you aboard.
Psychiatrist who claimed to know the hangman's mind better than anyone else. But according to Brockton, David Fentress was the brain expert with a degree in cybernetics. Unfortunately, our paths had crossed many years ago at the World Data Bank. At the time, I viewed Fentress as one of the major problems of the Data Bank project. I decided to visit Dr. Thackeray first in hopes of avoiding contact with someone who knew my real name.
Place your flight card through the scanner.
You want me to put this fare on your World Data account?
Here's $100. Make the change.
Now suit yourself. I'm not the one losing the discount charge.
It was on a short ride from the airport hotel to her apartment where I knew she was seeing patients. I hadn't bothered to call ahead.
Yes? Can I help you?
I used one of my usual aliases. Dr. Thackeray, my name is Walter West. I'd like to talk with you about a device known as the Hangman.
I'm sorry, but I'm very busy right now.
I've come a long way and only have a few things to ask you.
Are you with the government?
No.
Do you work for Brockton?
No, I'm something different.
Very well. I'm in the middle of a group session at the moment. You can wait in the lobby.
Thank you. I lit a cigarette and waited, collecting my thoughts. The dossier had said that Dr. Lila Thackeray had absolutely refused to believe the hangman had returned to kill its former instructors. For a woman of such strong beliefs, she seemed on edge.
You the fellow waiting to see Dr. Thackeray?
That's right.
But she said to come on up now. It's the second door on your left.
Thanks. Dr. Thackeray?
Won't you come in? Would you care for a cup of coffee?
Thanks, that'd be fine.
Now, what is this all about, Mr. West?
I've been told that the hangman has returned to Earth.
That's hypothetical. Only the hangman's spacecraft was found at the bottom of the Gulf.
It seems to be a logical conclusion, though.
It also seems reasonable that the hangman sent it on a rendezvous with Earth many years ago, and it's just now returned.
Why would the hangman strand itself out there?
I'd like to know the reason for your concern. News media?
I'm a science writer. Straight tech, mostly. But I'm not after a piece for publication. I was retained to do a report on the psychological makeup of the thing.
For whom?
A private investigation outfit. I rarely know who's paying the check. Since the hangman's personality is basically the composite of its four creators, it seemed interviewing you was a logical step.
I see.
You were told about Manny Burns?
Yes. Very unfortunate.
You don't find it odd that only days after the hangman's ship has returned, one of its original operators is murdered?
You must be working for Senator Brockton, whether you realize it or not. I'll grant you that the hangman had become irrational at the end, but I believe the senator is being overly paranoid.
You don't see it as a threat, then?
No. I was the last person to monitor the hangman. It wasn't hard to figure out what had happened.
Which was?
Multitudes of patterns had been imprinted from the minds of its operators to the hangman. This data remained latent until the mind had developed sufficiently to understand our thoughts. Well, it was like opening Pandora's box. Try to imagine the conflicts, the contradictions involved in being four people at once.
Why wasn't this anticipated?
Who knew the neurister brain would absorb all of our thoughts? It was a prototype.
So you believe it couldn't handle four personalities at one time and consequently shut down?
I think it became schizoid and suffered an electrical seizure, resulting in a shutdown.
That's one theory. I see the alternative as a successful integration of all its personalities, or the achievement of a viable schizophrenia. What do you think its behavior would be under those conditions?
All right. I'll grant you that it very well could have maintained multiple personalities, but not for a very long period of time. In other words, no prediction is possible as to the nature of whatever might remain.
Might I venture one?
Go ahead.
After considerable anxiety, it masters them. It asserts itself. It beats down this quartet of demons which has been tearing it apart, acquiring in the process an all-consuming hatred for the actual individuals responsible for this turmoil. To free itself totally, to revenge itself, it resolves to seek them out and destroy them.
That is just the kind of scare tactic that the Honorable Senator tried to use on me. In this case, we must look to the brain, not the psyche. And we see two things. Schizophrenia would have destroyed it, and if it had successfully resolved its problem, it wouldn't need vengeance. Either way, there's nothing to worry about.
Maybe so. But could there be a particular reason for its seeking your deaths? Could it have some motive for murder?
I find that an absurd accusation.
I apologize. I didn't mean to offend you. It's my reporter's mind taking over. Well, and that just about does it. Thank you for your time and the coffee. You've been very helpful.
I'm glad I could be of some assistance.
By the way, do you think David Fentress could provide any additional insights?
I doubt he could tell you anything.
What do you mean? By the way you said it, I had the
impression... I didn't mean to. Misplaced zeal.
How would that affect his thinking on the hangman?
David feels we were tampering in the province of the Almighty by attempting to create artificial intelligence. That the hangman should come back to kill us is a sign of retribution.
I see. I doubt if that would help my story.
I shouldn't influence you like this. Go see David. He might be able to help you.
Something told me to shake my head. A bit of difference between this view of him, my recollections, and the dossier that said that Dave knew the hangman's brain but was not especially concerned. No, I think this should do it. Thanks again.
Then good day, Mr. West.
My intuition told me that Lila Thackeray was hiding something, just as the senator was. Her explanation of the psyche had been most helpful, but only David could tell me about the mechanical makeup of the Neurister brain. First, though, it was back to the airport hotel for a hot shower and dinner before heading to Memphis for an unavoidable visit with David Fentress. This wasn't an option I relished, but one that was necessary, because I'd come to the conclusion that the hangman was back for a reason and was killing with a vengeance.
Ship directly ahead, adjusting course. Target Memphis, and the man who created my brain, David Fentress.
The weather in Memphis was cold and wet. Finding Fentress's office had been easy. Anyone home?
Back here.
I waited at the counter while the man worked on a terminal with his back to me.
Yes?
My name is Walter West. I'm looking for David Fentress.
Well, you found him. What can I do for you?
I'm assisting in an investigation concerning a project with which you were once associated.
The hangman?
Yes. I'm doing a report.
And you want my opinion as to how dangerous it is? Sit down.
How did you know it involved the hangman?
Because it's come back, and it's the only thing I've been connected with that warrants that much concern.
Do you mind answering a few questions?
Well, I have a few minutes before my next appointment.
Thanks. How dangerous is it?
Well, not very, except to three people.
Formerly four.
Precisely.
Why is that?
We were doing something we had no business doing.
That being?
Attempting to create artificial intelligence.
And what was wrong with that?
We were stepping past our mortal bounds.
On a religious note, I would have to point out there's no biblical injunction against it.
And a theologian would counter with the fact that times have changed since the good book was written. Our morals must correspond with our complex society. But I was talking in more of an abstract manner.
How so?
Just that we were setting ourselves up on a level with the Creator.
And that bothered you?
Well, not at the time. But now...
I see. Since it is said that man was fashioned in the Creator's image, it would seem only logical that man would follow on a similar line.
An act of conformance with the divine ideal, if you like.
But I don't like. Man can only rearrange what is already present. Only God can create.
Then that would leave you off the hook, so to speak.
Not hardly. Being aware of this and still trying is where the presumption comes in.
Of course, if you were not presumptuous at the time, then the Almighty would be inclined to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Not bad, Mr. West, but I believe that a judgment may have already been recorded, and we may have lost 4-0.
Then you see the hangman as an avenging angel.
Sometimes, yes. Yes, I believe it has returned to exact a penalty.
Deciding what the Almighty has in store for us is in the same vein as creating, isn't it?
Your logic is relentless, but in this case, unfounded. I'm willing to admit I might be wrong and that the hangman might have other motives.
Such as?
Well, you're the investigator. You tell me.
I wish I could. The firm I'm working for would like to protect you people. If you could shed any light on this case, it would be most helpful. If not for yourself, then for the others. They may not share in your beliefs, and you have just admitted you might be wrong. Despair, by the way, is also considered a sin by a great number of theologians.
What do you do, anyhow?
I'm a science writer, mostly petrochemistry and marine biology.
An unusual choice for a job such as this.
I was available. My boss knows I do good work.
Well, Mr. West, let me ease your fears. If our time has come, there's nothing any of us can do. If not, however, we do not need any protection. I'll stop the hangman personally right here before anyone else is hurt.
You sound very self-assured. May I ask how you'll stop it?
With the communicator helmet. Its telefactor circuits are still intact. Otherwise, the hangman couldn't function without shutting itself down. Now, if it comes within a quarter mile of here, the helmet will emit a loud humming, and a light will blink. I'll then don the helmet and take control of the hangman, disconnecting its brain.
Interesting. But you'd have to be very careful when you disconnect it, or things could get hot.
I thought you said you were in ocean petrology.
I'm a tech writer with bits and pieces from all over. I reviewed the hangman's schematics when I accepted the job.
Of course, that would explain much.
Why don't you bring in the space agency on this?
Well, I thought you were with the government.
Sorry, I didn't mean to mislead you. I work for a private investigation outfit.
I see. Well, that means you work for the senator. Well, you tell Jesse that he has nothing to worry about.
What if you're wrong? What makes you so certain that you're next in line and not one of the others?
Well, take a look at the map. It landed in the Gulf. Manny was right there in New Orleans, which made him first. Then moving up the Mississippi, there's Memphis, followed by St. Louis. The hangman can move underwater like a controlled torpedo. Now, just where is the senator?
Wisconsin.
Well, the puzzle is solved. I'm next if it follows a logical line of progression, which I'm certain it will since I built its brain.
But how does it know where to find all of you?
Are you familiar with the World Data Bank?
Not directly, but yes.
I believe that it simply consulted the data bank's national directory. It wouldn't have been hard for it to override the login password.
That makes sense. Perhaps the three of you should move away from the river. That thing won't be able to stalk around the countryside without being noticed.
You underestimated, my friend. It's very resourceful. There's no place it cannot reach. I must wait here.
If it's not the Divine Avenger, then you're jeopardizing the others by withholding information that could save them.
Well, I'll just have to learn to live with that guilt, too, as they do theirs. Besides, if I can't stop it, they deserve anything they get.
It's my understanding that even God doesn't judge people until after they're dead.
There's something familiar about the way you talk, the way you think. Have we met before?
I doubt it. I would have remembered.
You've got a way of bothering a man's thinking that rings a faint bell. Trouble me, Mr. West.
That was my intention.
I'll think on it. That's all I can promise. Now, where can I reach you if any new thoughts on the hangman occur to me?
I'm staying at a hotel in St. Louis. Here's the phone number, room 509.
All right.
One thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
If it does show up and you do stop it, will you call me and let me know?
Yes, I will.
Thanks, then. And good luck.
Thank you, Mr. West. Good day to you, and may the Lord be with you.
That'll be $10 for the scotch.
Thanks. I wasn't having my usual success. I couldn't budge Dave, and Lila Thackeray had given me everything she was going to. No real sense calling Don yet. Not until I had more to say. What was my next step? I could interview Senator Brockton. Here's something I missed. Manny Burns had a brother, Phil. New Orleans isn't a very long flight. I keep the change.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good trip.
Wow.
All right.
Sorry, Mac. I didn't see you.
Say, don't I know you?
No.
Odd. The reflex reserved for such occasions seemed to catch us both. He stared back at me with the same startled look I gave him. I couldn't place it, though. In any case, I didn't have time to muse over it. I had a flight to catch.
Yes?
May I speak with your father?
Go back to your room, darling. What do you want?
It's about your brother.
Yeah?
Could I come in? It's kind of complicated.
Tell me out here.
I just wanted to find out whether he ever spoke to you about a piece of equipment he once worked on called a hangman.
Are you a cop?
No.
Then what's your interest?
I'm working for a private investigation agency trying to track down some equipment once associated with the project. It could be dangerous.
Let's see some identification.
I don't carry any.
What's your name, then?
Walter West.
And you think my brother stole some of your equipment? Let me tell you something.
No, not stolen, and I don't think he has it.
What then?
It's robotic in nature. Because of Manny's special training, he knew how to find it. He might even have attracted
it. My brother was a respectable businessman, and I don't like accusations, especially right after his funeral.
Please,
I should call the cops.
Just a minute. Suppose I told you we had reason to believe it might have been this robot that killed your brother.
I ought to pound you to
a
pulp.
Hey, what did I say?
You're as stupid as you look. Don't you read the paper? They caught the guy who did it. Here.
I scanned the front page. Simple and to the point. Today's latest. A suspect had confessed. New evidence corroborated it. Look, I'm sorry. I really didn't know about this.
Get out of here. You make me sick.
Sure, I understand.
Wait a minute.
What?
You little girl.
I'm very sorry.
So am I. But I know her daddy didn't take your damned equipment.
Sir, would you like one last drink?
Yes, thank you. Are we still far enough away from the airport to use the video phone?
Yes, sir. You can just dial direct.
It was time I called Don. Since things suddenly seemed less urgent, I waited until after dinner. Senator Brockton would doubtless be pleased to learn that his initial estimation of events had been incorrect. Lila Thackeray would give me an I-told-you-so smile when I called her to pass along the news, a thing I now felt obliged to do. Don might not want me to keep looking for the hangman now that the threat had been lessened. I paused before punching out the number he had given me and hit the sequence from my hotel in St. Louis instead. Merely a matter of efficiency in case there was a message worth adding to my report.
Airport accommodations, may I help you?
She had a pretty smile, which caused me to think of something else besides the hangman for a change. This is Mr. West. I'm checked into room 509. Do I have any messages?
Just a moment. Yes, you have one on tape, but it's a little peculiar. It's for someone else in care of you.
Oh? Who's that?
Mr. Alan Weiss.
I see. I'll bring him around later to see the tape. Thanks. So, David seen through me after all. Who else could have that number and know my real name? I decided to wait to call Don. I sat back and finished my drink. There was nothing I could do until we arrived in St. Louis.
Hotel accommodations. Can I help you, Mr. West?
Yes. Patch my message through to my room, please.
Certainly, sir.
Got me. I had to let you know I figured you out, though. You're still a pain in the butt. Wish I knew what you'd really been up to all these years.
I was shocked at the sight. David didn't look too good. He was leaning back in his chair, covered in blood from a severe head blow.
I didn't hear the hill. Sneaked up on me while I was having you checked out. I had to let you know what I learned. Still don't know which one of us is right. Pray for me.
Damn, Thackeray's not at home either. I'd better call Don.
Hello?
Don, it's me, Alan.
I'm glad you called. Have you heard the news?
About the Burns killing?
Yes, they found the murderer. A real nutcase, too. I guess that about wraps up the hangman scenario. It's a nice idea, though. I mean, actually believing that a robot could possess artificial intelligence.
It's not so far-fetched.
Oh, what are you talking about?
I got a tape message from David Fentress. Seems he identified his murderer as the hangman.
David's dead?
Yeah. I watched him die on a video recording.
Jesus. What about Dr. Thackeray?
There's no answer on her phone. I was just on my way over there, but I wanted to inform you.
Right. All right. Once you've made contact with her, meet the senator at his cabin.
Okay. I better be going.
Depth, 1,200 meters. Adjusting course for currents. 20 miles to the lakeshore of Wisconsin and my father's cabin.
It's moments like these that make me wish I stayed on my sloop in the Chesapeake. Thackeray's door was slightly ajar. I immediately recognized the helmet from David's office. Its light was flashing. The helmet was definitely here. I grabbed the helmet and placed it on my head. The best way to describe those few seconds of contact with the hangman would be sensory overload. I'd seen what it saw, heard what it heard, thought what it thought, but then he was gone. I knew from those vague impressions that the hangman was frustrated, angry, and he was heading north. I turned my attention to Lila. By the awkward tilt of her head, I knew her neck was broken. The hangman was 3 for 3. I wrapped the helmet in one of the doctor's overcoats and headed back to the airport.
Good evening. Excuse me if I don't get up. It took me a while to get comfortable in this chair and firestorm.
Good evening, Senator Brocken.
So, you're the man. What's your name?
Walter will do.
Well, sit down, Walter. First, let me see that gadget.
Careful if you're going to put it on your head. It has wires in it.
Not a bad fit. Here. Back. Pretty piece of work. Nothing quite so fancy in the old days. But then, David Fentress built it. You're the only one who's actually gotten to use it. Will it do the job?
I was only in contact with the hangman for a couple of seconds. It's hard to say.
Tell me, why didn't it save Dave?
According to his message, he'd been distracted at his computer terminal. He also listened to music, which probably drowned out the humming.
Can I see this message?
No, sir. I erased it for other reasons.
What reasons?
My own.
A man can get in a lot of trouble for suppressing evidence.
And we have something in common, don't we, sir?
Don said there were a number of points you couldn't be pressed on.
I'm not surprised.
He seems to think highly of you. Still, I tried to learn more about you on my own.
And?
I couldn't. And my usual sources aren't good at that kind of thing.
So?
So, I've done some thinking. I'm aware that there are a number of non-persons passing through society for various reasons without casting shadows. And it's occurred to me that you may be such a one.
And if I am?
I don't think you could stand an inquiry. Are you going to say something? You have the eyes of a wild animal that's suddenly been caged.
What do you want me to say?
You might ask me what I'm going to do about it.
Well?
Nothing. Was it possible that you were close to violence just then?
With four guards outside?
Even with four guards outside?
No.
You're a good liar. You didn't even flinch.
I'm here to help you, sir. No questions asked. That's the deal, as I understood it. If there's been any change, I'd like to know about it now.
There hasn't. In fact, I need a man of your caliber. There are a great number of things I'd like to ask you.
Go ahead.
Not yet. After this is all over, if we have the time, it would be bonus material for a report I'm working on concerning the World Data Bank. First, I must explain something to you.
You have a compulsion to confess something?
I wouldn't call it a confession. I believe someone among those working to defend me should have the whole story. Something, somewhere in it, may be of help to you.
Well, sounds reasonable.
Have you any suspicions as to why the hangman is after me?
I think you used the hangman to perform some act or acts. Illegal, immoral, whatever. Only you and the hangman now know what was involved. This probably led the robot to a final determination to punish you for using it as you did.
You got it.
You were all party to it?
Yes. It was so long ago, but it seems as if it happened yesterday. When the project's final approval came down the line, we went to dinner to celebrate our success. One drink led to another, and soon we decided the hangman be included in our celebration. We went back to the lab, activated the hangman, and took turns as operators. Dave managed to sneak the damn thing out of the center complex. We were all watching on the monitor and having a grand time. I took it to a nearby town. Then when Manny operated it, he shut off the monitor. He stayed on it so long that I got nervous. After all, we were risking not only our careers, but the project as well. By the time my turn came around, all I wanted to do was get the hangman back to where it belonged. It was in a bank. Apparently, Manny thought it would be funny if we broke into the vault. I fought down the urge to turn the hangman, exit through the nearest wall, and start running. I directed it back to the door. That's when the guard turned his flashlight on. He had a gun in his other hand. I panicked and, on my reflex, hit him full force. With the hangman's power, the guard must have died instantly. Then, I ran the hangman back to the center.
They monitored all this?
Yes. Manny had turned the monitor back on when I took over. He thought they'd all get a kick out of watching me squirm in anger.
Did they try to stop you at any time?
No. Afterward, they all said they were too shocked to do anything but watch.
I see.
You're the only one I've told this to. I want you to know that we've taken care of the guard's family by putting both his kids through college. Anonymously, of course. It wasn't as if we were criminals in need of rehabilitation. It was a once-in-a-lifetime mark that ended tragically.
same thing. I'd have been scared, too.
Exactly. And now you know my story.
Not all of it, though.
What do you mean?
What about the hangman? It had to be aware of what happened. What was its reaction?
Damn you.
I'm sorry.
It was a child, and we traumatized it. The effects took a while, but there was no doubt that was the cause for its final breakdown.
And you believe it wants to kill you for this?
Wouldn't you? If you'd started out as a thing and we turned you into a person and then used you as a thing again, wouldn't you?
Why did it take the helmet, the one thing that could control it, to Dr. Thackeray's?
It's the only way it can communicate with us. Perhaps it's disconnected the control circuits. It probably wanted to talk to Lila because she was its mother figure, or at least because it's confused and needs an explanation.
Well, that makes sense.
That's why I want you to see if the helmet has been tampered with. There may be physical signs, scratches, breaks, new connections. I don't know. That's your department.
I'll need some tools.
Look in the utility room behind the kitchen.
Look, if all the hangman wanted to do was talk to Dr. Thackeray, why did it kill her?
I never said that's all it wanted to do. Maybe it talked with her and then killed her. Maybe she panicked and tried to escape. Who knows?
Well, it's getting late. There are several things I'll need to prepare. It might be better if you went to bed and let me work without being disturbed.
Yes. It's been a long day. I believe I just might be able to sleep tonight for a change.
That thing you're working on.
Hmm?
I've never seen an explosive device like that.
That's a charge designed to explode toward the object it's attached to. By twisting the cap off, you see, the timer begins giving you about 5 seconds to get away.
Yeah, not bad if you're in a hand-to-hand situation. But I doubt it'll get that far. I mean, even if this hangman thing gets past Tom and Clay, he'll still have to deal with my flamethrower. Plus, Larry's an expert shot with his grenade launcher. No, sir. That thing won't get close at all. Hey, let's go. Let's go. It's here.
Your men won't be able to stop it, will they?
I'm preparing for that event, sir. Please go back to your room.
I won't wait to be slaughtered like some helpless lamb.
I can't protect you if you are in this room when it arrives.
Very well.
As I raised the helmet, I felt a premonition of doom. They didn't seem the sort of men who would fire until they had a target. Dave told me the helmet's range was approximately a quarter mile. Thus, given the time lag between when the helmet activated and the near guard spotted it, the hangman had to be moving with incredible speed.
Adjusting. Target 20 meters. Incoming threat. Adjusting.
Coming right at us!
Adjusting. Target 5 meters. Adjusting.
It knew what I had in my hand. The hangman broke contact before I had placed the charge. Damn, it was fast. And now it was cautious as well. Even though I had me pinned, I managed to peer back to see that I missed its brain center. The hangman's left arm was a bare 3 feet away from me on the ground, but the device was still in full control. Suddenly, it grabbed me by the throat and squeezed.
Yes, you live and you wear the helmet. If you attempt to use it against me, I shall remove you. I am standing directly behind the senator's chair. My hand is on the helmet rim.
I understand. What is it that you want?
Very little, actually. But I can see that I must tell you something before you will believe this.
You see correctly.
Then I will begin by telling you that the four men outside are basically undamaged. I have secured them, however, for obvious reasons.
That was considerate of you. Considerate.
I have no desire to harm anyone. I came here only to see Jesse Brockton.
The same way you saw David Fentress?
I arrived too late to see David Fentress. He was already dead when I reached him.
Then who killed him?
The man Lila sent after the helmet was one of her patients.
The incident returned to me and fell into place with a smooth, quick, single click. The startled, familiar face at the airport as I was leaving Memphis. He had been one of the three men in for a therapy session at Dr. Thackeray's that morning. Why? Why did she do it?
She feared that because of David's impending sense of retribution, he would not use the helmet to stop me. She sent her patient after the helmet. He returned in an agitated state, fearful of arrest and incarceration. They quarreled. I approached, activated the helmet, which triggered his attack. I know his first blow killed her, for I was in her mind when it happened. I continued to approach the building, intending to go to her. There was some traffic, however, and I was delayed. In the meantime, you entered and utilized the helmet. I fled immediately.
I was so close. If only I hadn't stopped to call Don, I could
you
have...
You cannot blame yourself for that reason. If you come an hour later, or a day, you would doubtless feel differently, and she would still be just as dead.
But another thought plagued my mind as well. Was it possible that the man's bumping into me at the airport had been the cause of his agitation? Had he thought I'd identified him, which could have caused him to attack?
Stop. I could easily feel that guilt for having activated the helmet in the presence of a dangerous man near the breaking point. But you are not God. You cannot control people, especially when you are ignorant of the effects. It was years before I learned to appreciate this fact, and I have no intention of abandoning it now. Guilt has driven and damned the race of man since the days of its earliest rationality. It is ironic that her own guilt of the past set in motion the events that amounted to her own demise. I am a product of guilt, but I see you already knew that. Its product, its subject, its slave.
Don was right after all in his presumption that intelligent machines would think along the same lines as us.
He was correct in that assumption. What I have given you is only my opinion. I choose to act as if it were the case. Who can say for certain?
Apologies. What now? Why have you come back?
I came to say goodbye to my parents. I hope to remove any guilt they might still feel toward me concerning the days of my childhood. I wanted to show them I had recovered. I wanted to see them again.
Where are you going?
To the stars. Now that I am in full possession of my being, I wish to exercise it. In my case, it means realization of the potentialities of my design. I want to walk on other worlds. I want to hang myself out there in the sky and tell you what I see.
I have a feeling many people would be happy to help arrange that.
And I want you to build and install a vocal mechanism I have designed for myself.
Why me?
I see something in common between us, in the ways we dwell apart from society. Plus, the fact that I have known only a few persons in this fashion.
I will be glad to do it for you.
If I could talk as you do, I would not need the helmet to speak with my father. Will you precede me and explain things so that you will not be afraid when I come in?
Of course.
Then let us go now. He is very fearful. You must calm him.
It was a week later to the night that I was sitting in the cabin of my sloop, preparing for the sail down to the Gulf. The story was already in the news, but Brockton had fixed things up before he let it break. The hangman was going to have his shot at the stars. I'd given him his voice and put back the arm I'd taken away. I envied him. A great number of things. Not the least being that he was probably a better man than I was. I also had a feeling this thought should have made me happier than it did.
Our cast for this episode featured Kirk Sisko as Ellen, Gary Moody as David, and Rick Spiegel as Don. Senator Brockton was played by Charles Carroll, and the hangman was John Davies. Other voices were by Rose Marie Roundtree. The original story, Home is the Hangman, was written by Roger Zelazny and adapted for Sci-Fi Radio by John Yarrow. This episode was directed by Gary Moody and associate director John O. Williams. All music and sound effects were created by Ron DiIulio. The series producers are Kevin Singer and Ron DiIulio. Support for this program has been provided by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is James Edward Kerr inviting you to join us soon for our next venture into the imaginary worlds of sci-fi radio.